Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back to your therapy session. We're going to need therapy after what we went through this season, man.
It's crazy, man. It seemed like we've been in group therapy for like years now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Since 2018,
feels unreal. Like, this feels really surreal, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought the word I choose to use at this point is apathy, bro.
Yeah,
I'm just like you just like really don't care. Just like whatever. Like, you don't even get mad. You don't even get upset.
Yeah.
You just like, eh. That's why I'm in with the Bears, dude. And that's bad. I don't think I've ever been like this.
I got like this during the McCown years. Yeah.
Yeah, the 90s, I was like that.
I got like that a little bit. But now is you got people calling for Bajent like he is going to be our savior. And before we jump off into it, I'm just sorry to disappoint you folks. It's going to get ugly someday.
Hold on. You're telling me he's not Jesus? This is not Jesus?
QB Jesus?
Yes. Like, it's going to get ugly Sunday, folks. Whether y'all want to believe the shit or not, you thought that Minnesota game was bad. Wait till Sunday. Just wait.
Just wait.
Exactly. Yeah, do the Usher. Watch this.
Watch
with the finger scissors. And you know, he getting them back and forth. Watch this. Like, oh yeah, it's going to get worse. And by no means am I rooting for the young man to fail, but I'm just giving you the odds. The odds are highly against him that he's not going to succeed.
Yeah, I would love Tyson Bajent to end up be Brock Purdy.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't happen.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
Don't happen all the time.
You know?
No. And I would love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just a couple takeaways from this Sunday's game. Yes, Justin holds the ball at times too long. I understand that. Yes, Justin needs to play better. I understand that. But as I tweeted earlier today, we've done him no favors in Chicago. None. Okay? We put incompetent coaching staffs and general managers around him to where we're giving him a slingshot and telling him to go to war and make do. And then you sit here and you bitch and you complain and you moan about Justin not making big plays and not doing this. And then when he holds the ball looking for a big play and then he gets sacked, you bitching about that. Oh, he stinks. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. What type of team have we fielded around Justin Fields? We've given him bubblegum and duct tape and told him, do your best. And I don't give a shit how you do it. Coaching staff included, okay? We put incompetent coaches, motherfuckers who learning first year on the job. Never been head coaches before, Matt Nagy, Matt Eberflus. Mm-hmm. Never been offensive coordinators before. Matt Nagy, Matt, and fucking Luke Getsy. And for those idiots that's out there, oh, well, it should be plug and play because he's part of the Shanahan coaching tree. No, the fuck he's not, you idiots. He's part not. Of Joe Moorhead's coaching tree.
I've been saying that all the time.
He's part of Moorhead's coaching tree. He runs.
There's a difference between being part of the coaching tree and being associated with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right? He's associated with it.
Exactly.
He's associated with it. So he knows, you know.
He's been there for 2 years.
You might say, right?
2 years with Matt LaFleur.
He's your third cousin that you really don't like. That
you don't fuck with at all.
You know what I'm saying?
That's your third cousin.
Keep it a buck.
That's who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He barely family.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Barely so family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
that odd looking nigga in the back.
Absolutely. So to stem off of that, we've given him literally shit to work with. And then we're expecting high quality results, right? We're expecting magic to happen. Okay, how long has it been before we fielded an offensive line for Justin Fields? We still ain't did it yet. How long has it been before we gave him a competent center to snap him the ball? We still ain't did it yet. How long has it been before we got him an actual number one wide receiver? Well, we just did that this past offseason. Okay, what about it? What about the fucking defense? Okay, to give Justin opportunities to give him the ball, right, and do what he needs to do. How have we done that? Well, we ain't did it yet. So all this, we ain't did it yet, but yet we expecting we've done it results. Are y'all fucking are y'all mad? Are y'all out of your mind?
Yes, they are.
And this is not making excuses for Justin Fields' play. Yes, we understand that Justin needs to play better. Yes, we understand that Justin cannot hold the ball that long. But also, folks, also take into consideration, coaching fucking matters, okay? Perfect example. Patrick Mahomes said, I did not know how to read a defense until 2.5 years in. I was in my third year. I had already won an MVP. I didn't know how to read a defense.
And mind you, he sat out his first year.
Absolutely. He sat out his first year. He said, I did not know how to read a defense because Andy Reid told me on this play, you throw the ball to this spot and that person is supposed to be there. We're going to rely on our talent that's around you that's going to carry you until you are coached up to the point where you can read a defense. Justin does not have that luxury, folks.
Mecole Hardman.
He does not have that luxury. He's
got one guy that he can.
DJ Moore, that's it. And he just got him this season. Okay? So what did
they
do?
As soon as they saw him snap, they took him out of the game.
Absolutely. And for those, he had Darnell Mooney. Where is he now? The same person that we told y'all this past offseason, right here on Three Kings, I don't think he'll be back after this season. I told y'all that.
Yeah, that first year back is always a struggle for a guy coming off of a knee injury.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm not banging. Yeah.
No,
on
we're not banging
him,
on
it's
him.
Just, it's just a fact. It takes time.
Yeah, and he should be a three. And he's a three. We already did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And we already said he's a three. He's a good. He's a high end three. That's what he should. He should.
Trust
be a
me, if he stays around, if he sticks around here, it's gonna be on a hometown discount. It's
absolutely
gonna be a discounted rate. Matter of fact, nobody's gonna pay him that much in the NFL right now.
No,
absolutely.
He's not gonna go and garner a lot of money anywhere.
There's already
his numbers aren't there, and he's still coming off the injury.
And so, the Bears have his replacement. They got Tyler Scott. They'll just let him go and they'll keep Tyler Scott. They'll drive. I gotta say this, Marvin Harris, which they should do. But this is my thing with the Bears, dude. And I've been saying this all offseason. Our fan base, like we have some smart people in our fan base, right?
Yes.
We got a lot of like people like us that create content. There's other people that tweet good shit. But I think a majority of the people don't really understand the game of football.
They don't.
We've been harping on this. The trenches.
Yes.
They just now kind of start doing it. They drafted a tackle and a defensive tackle. But then, no, we were like, no, y'all ain't fixed this shit.
It ain't fixed.
You got to fix the trenches, bro. Like, that's why the 49ers can throw whoever at quarterback.
They can plug and play.
Because their offensive, defensive lines are fucking outstanding. Their weapons are outstanding. They just put a quarterback in there. If they make mistakes, it don't matter. Deepo Samuels make them look good. Brandon Ayuk makes them look good. Kittle makes them look good. CMC makes them look good.
But wait, Will. The Houston Texans are, wait a minute. CJ Stroud is playing way better than Justin Fields. What's going on? Look at their offensive coordinator. Look at how many number one and number two first round draft picks they have up against that fucking offensive line. Look at what philosophy they're running. Their offensive coordinator was Shanahan's right hand fucking man for the last 12 to 15 years. He's running the same system.
Yeah.
It's a quarterback friendly system. Therefore, you can plug and play. And hey, we're going to rely on what's around us, veteran receivers. You throw it to a spot. And he's supposed to be there. If it's not there, it's on him. It's not on you.
But let's not get sidetracked on one game. Before this game, Justin was on pace to throw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, all this crazy shit. So he got hurt in a game that everybody played like shit. The offensive line was probably they were blocking each other.
First play, he gets blasted on a six.
I was like, it's gonna be a long ass
rush.
Day. It's gonna be a long ass day.
First play, he gets blasted on a six man rush. First play. first fucking play, sixth man. Okay, you looking at this, and if you know Justin hasn't identified it, why ain't nobody calling timeout? Because there's a free unblocked man with a kill shot running at your quarterback.
What about the play when they had Dante Foreman blocking fucking Darnell Hunter, dude?
And expecting some type of result behind that.
He got blown up in Justin. You know, it's amazing to me, dude. It's like, because these people literally think, and like, I fell victim to this too as a Bears fan, but you expect people, we start to be smarter than this right now. They literally think, bro, that all you need to do is draft the right quarterback, put him in here, and everything's going to be okay. The line, because he's going to get the ball out so quick. You know, he's going to get the ball out before he's going to recognize everything. A rookie quarterback is fucking going to come in year one and be like 40-year-old Tom Brady. He's going to be able to diagnose defense, get the ball out quick. He's going to be just eons better, bro. You don't need to do shit. You don't need to fix the O-line. You don't need to fucking get the defense. You don't need to get better wide receivers. All you need to do is get quarterback Jesus. Quarterback Jesus will descend from the heavens like the Raptor and like swoop you up to heaven and take you off, and the Bears would be all right. That's all you need, QB. We've seen this with Jay Cutler. We've seen it with Mr. Trubisky. We've seen it with fucking Rex Grossman. We've seen it with Justin Fields. The Bears just can't build a fucking team around a quarterback. When have we ever built a team around a quarterback, bro? Like,
never.
The offense was good. The defense was good. The weapons. I think the closest we came to that was 2018, and that was like 1 year.
Yep.
That was the closest year when we had an actual defense. We had good enough weapons, and the offensive coordinator shit was actually working for a little bit.
Oh, well, they just didn't figure him out yet.
Until they caught on to what Nagy wanted to run.
Like I said, defensive coordinators and defensive players are very smart individuals, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're not always just going to be able to do whatever you want to do. You have to adjust. That's what I said. I alluded to it as well. And as you made mention of it earlier in your rant just a minute ago, you know, we got coordinators in Matt Nagy. He was a play caller, head coach, you might say, but he was running the show on offense. And then you got Luke Getsy, both of these guys. And I'll be honest. I was one who overlooked the Luke Getsy situation. Yep. I was one who overlooked it and said, okay, that's a good hire because he's coming from Green Bay. We weaken them. So on and so forth. He had to have learned something from learning in his interaction with Aaron Rodgers and this, that, and the third. So I kind of overlooked it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be real about it. Most of Bears Twitter overlooked it.
Yeah.
But that's what your coaching staff can't overlook.
Yeah.
Your coaching staff, and that's when I say I'm laying it at the feet of Matt Eberflus, you know you got a young quarterback. I don't need a coordinator who's also learning on the job.
Absolutely.
I don't need a coordinator who's also has never game planned, who's never really called plays in the game. And if you haven't done that, and I tweeted about it, where if you haven't done those things, you haven't even called plays, I know for certain you have not made in-game adjustments.
Absolutely.
And that's something time and time that we see him lacking at. He's not able to go into the locker room at halftime, make the needed adjustments, come back out, and get things rolling. The offense looks the same in the second half as it did in the first. The offense looks as bad as it did in the fourth, the same way in the first. So over the course of the game, he's not able to do that. This is the situation. This is what we're talking about when we talk about the coaching staff, right? You can put your players in position to win. You can put them in position to lose and be unsuccessful as well. And right now, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Do the players need to play better? Of course.
Yes.
That's all it is. When people hear us say it's the coaching staff, they want to come back at us and say, well, Justin needs to play better. He needs to do this.
Like we're absolving
him
from blame.
Of course, he's a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Every young quarterback needs to work on something.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Lawrence,
Jalen Hurts.
Look at what Joe Burrow was doing at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Jalen Hurts is struggling right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these quarterbacks are young quarterbacks, and it takes time.
Herbert.
There are going to be adjustments that need to be made, and it's up to the coaches to make those adjustments and then teach that to the students, right? The players, and then the players have to go out and execute.
Yes.
That's all they're doing is executing game plans.
Yes.
What team better executes is the team that normally wins in football games. And of course, you know, the trenches. If you win the trenches and you control the line of scrimmage, you win the football game.
That is a fact. And you know,
quarterback's just a low hanging fruit, man. That's why everybody's just the quarterback. It's the low hanging fruit. It's the one position, especially when you don't understand the totality of the game. You just say the quarterback is like any meathead. Right. Like, the quarterback sucks. You know, it's like, bro, they say, like, yes, the quarterback is the most important position on the football field, but there's a 53-man roster for a reason, bro. Like, you gotta have a team. Like, I don't care what quarterback you put on this team right now, this team would not be good.
No.
And that's how I analyze things. I'm like, if you put whoever on this team would not be good. They wouldn't be good. They just wouldn't be good.
Here's a quick question. During, like your offensive team comes off the sideline. Who goes over and grabs a Surface tablet? Who's the one that does that? It's the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not seeing everything on the field. You can't see everything.
No.
And that's every quarterback in the NFL. They go and they grab that Surface tablet. Why? Because they're going and looking at pictures. They're looking at little quick videos to see what was going on this play. What happened on this play? What did I miss here? What did I miss there? So when people are sitting here and they're blaming Justin, and, oh, he missed that. He didn't make this. He didn't do this. That's across the league, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's every freaking quarterback. You've never seen a quarterback not go and pick up that tablet and go look and find, where did I make the mistake? Where did I miss? What do I need to do?
Yeah, the backup quarterback sitting there. See, right there, your eyes are right here, and this guy broke open. So next time when they run that same coverage, you know that guy's open. If you get that same look, you may get that same look, you may not. You see that all the time. They be like, yeah, we saw that look earlier, and we missed it. And then later on, they gave us that same look. We called that same play, and we hit it. That's what it is.
Exactly.
You know,
that's why, like, bro, I don't even like arguing with people anymore about this shit. It's like stupid at this point.
The funny it's thing dumb, about man. Everything, I don't know if anybody who's listening has watched or took a chance to, you know, turn away from that god awful Bears game and turn to the Cleveland and San Francisco 49ers game. When Deebo Samuel went down, when Christian McCaffrey went out, you saw the true Brock Purdy. Okay. Plain and simple. You saw the true Brock Purdy. He didn't have that weaponry to rely on no more, and he got exposed. All right? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. And they lost to the Cleveland Browns. It is what it is. Granted, yes, my man did miss the field goal. All right, but you were up, too. You were up for the majority of the game, and then Cleveland made a run, came back. It was what it was. But Brock Purdy, without his weapons, again, what we say, you got to build a team around a person. And when your weapons go down, then you see the true makings of your quarterback, as you saw Brock Purdy.
Lost to P.J. Walker, bro.
Exactly. Lost to P.J. Walker. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. So I want y'all to take that in consideration when you want to pile and put everything on Justin Fields. Yes, does he need to play better? Yes. Does he hold on to the ball too long at times? Yes, we get that. But what about the fact, oh, well, he still can't read a defense. Well, whose fucking fault is that? That falls on no one but the coaching staff, okay? Oh, no, man, you got to have it, man. It's either in you or some asshole on Twitter. It's either in you. You just got... No, you stupid motherfucker. They developed this, okay?
You just born out of the womb?
You just born out of the womb? Oh, that's cover two, mom.
I don't come out my mama being able to read a cover three defense?
they're in cover three quarters right there. Yeah, that's what it is. Like, get the fuck out of here, man.
They were in cover two and they went to cover three.
We go back to what we said about Mahomes, and he's on record saying these things. We're not making this up, people. Pat Mahomes said, I could not identify. When I came out of college, I didn't know how to identify the Mike linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That's the most simplest
as basic as it gets.
Of things
to
do on the football field as a quarterback. Who's the Mike linebacker? He couldn't do that consistently when he first came into the NFL. So these are things that you develop. These are things that you work on. And it's up to the coaching staff to help guys do that. If you can't do it, you can't do it. And right now, the coaching staff is lacking. The players are lacking. You know what I mean? But it's not that they're not trying, I don't think. I think you got some guys that actually care and they want to win games. But, you know, like I said, man, we got the blind leading the blind. They learning on the job right now.
Yeah, this staff ain't it. And this is why I really wanted Jim Caldwell. He would have helped Justin. You know what I'm saying? This is why that Matt Eberflus hire was just weird to me. It was the wrong hire. We all know that. You know what I'm saying? We 2 years into this. We a year and a half into this shit, and we know that's the wrong hire. All right, cool. You know, but moving forward, it's just disgusting to see.
I think he could have been a good hire, though.
He could have been if he had the right offensive coordinator.
I think his... Yeah, not only that, but defensive coordinator, too. His coaching staff.
Yeah.
If he had done that differently...
You let me down.
And got some guys that were... You know, yeah. Then he would have been all right. I think he would have been all right, and he would have been able to focus on being a head coach and running the organization instead of the team. Instead of you know, now you got, you know, Alan Williams, this, you know, that debacle. You know what I mean? I mean, just, you know, it's just dysfunction, bro.
It's a mess, dude.
Sending cock shots to female staff members, man. Take a look at this. Yeah, you're out of here. What? What'd I do? We got you, man. We got the picture. Put a Tucker, man. Mel Tucker, but it's all good, you know. but it's wild, man. You know,
it's wild, dude.
It's wild. It's like this whole season was just like the last makings of Trestman before they got rid of him. It seemed like it's deja vu all over again. You know, but people are saying, and I want people to understand this, right? You're saying that, oh, there's no way if the Bears had the first two picks that they're going to keep Justin. Well, you don't know that. Because, again, they still can bring him back for the fourth year and say, you know what? We're going to get another number one pick next year anyway. So it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? So it don't matter. We can package it up, do whatever we got to do. And if we need to trade up to grab a quarterback, need be. However, we don't know how it's going to look beyond this fourth year.
Oh, I'll now, be back.
They could also do something on the other behalf where they take Justin Fields and could possibly have him on a Daniel Jones type contract, 2 years, 80 million, you know what I'm saying? 2 years where he's getting $40 million a year, but it's not breaking the bank. You can get from out under it if things don't work. You know what I'm saying? Say like this, his fourth year, he he's fairly decent. Let's say the Bears make a wild card. And then it's like, okay, well, you got to sign them long term. Well, no, you don't. Because you could pick up the fifth year option.
Instead of picking up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You could pick up the fifth year option too on that and be like, nah, I need to see more. And that's justified and it's fair.
Yeah, that's what they did. They picked up instead of picking up the fifth year option, they gave him a 2 year deal, right?
Right.
And so he goes four, year five and year six is the $40 million, whatever.
Yep. And then that's it. You cut your losses.
You don't break the bank, but you can still get from up under it. And you can also, you know, hold him accountable and say, look, your numbers weren't what they thought what we thought they could be.
Yep.
But we're going to extend you this opportunity.
To make right.
Advance yourself and see what happens, you know.
And that's absolutely true.
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Absolutely. Because they know they didn't put them in, you know, I could see Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren come to him and be like, look, dog, we gave you we put you in a pretty bad situation. And we understand that. You know what I'm saying? We understand that we put you in a pretty bad situation. So again, you know, look, instead of picking up your fourth year, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna extend you 2 years at $40 million per. And if it don't work, it just don't work. But this is on you now. No more excuses.
Do you know the fallout that would happen on Bears Twitter, on the fan base, media outlets, everybody else that's clamoring already for, we need to see what Beijing got because he might be special.
Which he won't be.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, though?
Yeah, and I could care less because I could tell them all to go eat bull dick and rice like Shannon Sharp. You know what I'm saying? Bull dick and go and eat onions. Bull dick and rice and chill out. Because in all actuality, how are you getting the team better when you're constantly taking away? The team will never get better if you constantly using picks and burning resources on the same fucking position. You become the Detroit Lions when they kept every year drafting wide receivers with the top five pick. It's not going to work. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They went from, well, who did they go? They went Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, Mike Williams. I mean, goddamn. Megatron. At some point in time, when is it going to stop?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier too, man. I was like, you don't ever build a team. We've seen this, like when they moved up the spot to get Mitch and they traded the picks to get Khalil Mack. You never had picks. You could never, like, when the people start getting old and getting hurt and going away, you could never replace them because you just don't have a team.
Right.
And people are just so obsessed with just having, like I said, quarterback Jesus, that you can't build the team when you should be taking that pick and getting an edge rusher and getting a left tackle or a number one wide receiver. You spend it on a quarterback to replace the other quarterback. And then what if this quarterback is the same as the last quarterback and he getting his ass kicked all over the field because you don't have a line, he don't have weapons, he don't have a defense that can keep him in the game. And so we're just repeating the same thing over and over, bro. It's so frustrating because as a Bear fan, you just see this over and over. And then people are like, so like their football IQ is so low, bro, that they fall for the shit. And it's like, it's almost like the Bears organization is like, this is what they do. We get a quarterback, then we half-ass him, and then we like character assassinate his ass. Let's get him out of here. And we never build a team, and then we get rid of him, then get another guy. And we do the same shit. We've been doing the same shit since K McDowell. We've been doing the same. We draft a quarterback. We don't fucking support him. We eventually run him out of town. We get another quarterback. We don't support him. We run him out of town. And it's like this loop. And I'm like, bro, maybe since we've been a Bears fan for so long and a lot of these people are young, they just don't see this shit. Like, I legitimately can see a team where you built up the offense of the team like the 49ers and put Justin Fields in there and you're going to be a perennial Super Bowl contender. Yeah, but people don't have enough patience to just do that. They don't just have enough patience to say, no, let's just invest in Justin. Let's invest in the offensive line. Let's invest in the defensive line. Eventually, he's going to speed up his process. But he's still going to play now. He has significantly more touchdowns than interceptions in the NFL his last 2 years. He can run the ball. He's shown he can throw the ball. Sure, he ain't perfect. But you just keep building. Get Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Get an edge rusher. Invest in the interior offensive line. Get another defensive tackle. And then I guarantee you, he's going to be throwing for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, and you're going to have a good team. But you're not going to do it. You're going to get rid of his ass. You're going to get Caleb Williams. You're not going to have any draft picks to – you have to pick. You should pick an offensive weapon, but you only going to be able to pick an offensive weapon or a defensive player. And then you're going to be doing the same shit. It's like going to be the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And then next thing you know, in 3 years, they're going to be like, they get rid of Caleb Williams. He holds on to the ball too long, which he does.
And we saw that against Notre Dame.
So you're going to be saying the same shit. You held on to the ball too long.
Notre Dame, Utah, fucking Tulane. Like, come on, man. Go back to these games, folks. But anyhow, look what
Miami
did.
There's a little bit of our fan base that look at Detroit, right? And Detroit, I got to give them their credit because they doing things.
Yeah.
They're not only beating teams, but they're beating people up. Yeah. Right? And that's what you want to do. But once again, they're beating people up on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. At the line of scrimmage is where they're winning these games. And they're literally physically beating teams up, beating them down in order to win games. And that's what you have to do in the NFL. But, you know, I just thought about it because a lot of people are on that, you know, oh, look at Detroit. Okay, well, look at Detroit. Mm-hmm. They got Jared Goff as their quarterback, right? Now, a lot of people, Jared Goff, he's not going to be nothing. He's worthless, blah, blah, blah. All I've been hearing last 17 games, 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, you know, 6 interceptions.
That's
you know what
solid.
I mean? That's a whole season. That's solid, bro. Mm-hmm. That's MVP numbers right there.
That's right.
You know, so you know what I mean? It just speaks to if you have an offensive line, and they got a hell of an offensive line in Detroit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have the defense able to, you know, to do what they need to do. You got a little running game. You got some playmakers at wide receiver. All of a sudden, everything starts clicking. All of a sudden, it's working for him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's not just plug a guy in. You got to plug him in the right situation with the right teammates, the right coaching staff, and everybody got to be bought into that in order for you to win. And that's what they need to do with Justin. You can't have people half-stepping. Yeah, we halfway there. We got a shoddy offensive. First of all, the offensive line is shoddy to begin with, right, in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then you have we got a bunch of people that can't stay healthy. Tevin Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair. All of these guys just in and out of the
Braxton
line.
Braxton Jones.
In and out of the line. Braxton Jones, he's on IR now. in and out of the lineup.
Nate Davis is hurt.
For all of Justin's career, bro. Mm-hmm. And we speak to it, for offensive line to be good, they got to work in unison. When you're playing musical chairs at offensive line, how is that going to be possible? It's never going to happen. You got too many. It's shoddy to begin with, and then you add on top of it the injuries that we've had. You know, it's just a recipe for disaster. That's what it's been.
And that's a fact. Yeah. You know, but look what Miami did. You know, same a quarterback that was in a similar situation by the name of Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they was ready to cast him aside.
They was ready to throw him out, and the general manager flat out said, "Nah, this who we riding with." Mm-hmm. He was good at Alabama, played in the big games, the whole nine. I'm not worried about Tua. I'm worried about putting a coaching staff around Tua. Flat out. And that's what he did. Even fired two coaches. Got rid of two coaches until he found the right coach.
Yeah.
To place around Tua. So, yes, this is Tua's third coach with Mike McDaniel. That's his third coach. But look what it look at the fruit. Third? I think it's his third because, again.
It's somebody before Brian Flores. Who's
yeah,
driving?
Yep. They got rid of him, too.
Really? Yeah.
Man.
So, you know what I'm saying? So
I didn't know that.
Look how it's bearing fruit. And then once they realized they had their guy, they went all in. You know what I'm saying? Once they was like, okay, right. We got the good pairing. We got the great pairing with the coach and the quarterback. Okay, now let's go and get him more weapons. They went and got Jalen Waddle. They went and got Tariq Hill. You know what I'm saying? They went and picked up the running back, Mostert. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing their due diligence. They got people to block for them up along that offensive line. I don't understand why is that so hard. That's the formula to success. They didn't say, oh, well, Tua sucks. Let's go get another quarterback. You know, he's a bum. We're going to go take this quarterback, and we're going to go do that, and we're going to go do this. Tua's setting the world on fire right now. Him and
his
squad.
That's what good teams do, man. But I don't expect the Bears. And that's why I'm frustrated with the fan base. I'm frustrated with the team. I'm frustrated with the media because they just – I don't know, maybe because it sells papers and get clicks, they just keep saying the same shit over and over, and they just keep doing the same thing. We just blame the quarterback, blame the quarterback, blame the quarterback, blame this quarterback, blame when the whole team is shit. It's extremely frustrating, dude. And I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I ain't even gonna make this about Justin, right? This is just how I develop my philosophy now that I've been watching the NFL since I was a fucking kid, dude, since 30 something years. I'm totally out on the philosophy on the QB Jesus shit. I'm being serious. Like, if you get a great one, you get a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm. But you still have to build the fucking team. Like, this ain't even got nothing to do with Justin. You keep Justin, don't keep him. I don't care. I don't even want to draft a quarterback. I don't give a fuck who it is. I'm at the point where you need to just build the team, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to have Trent Williams at left tackle. I don't want some half-ass. I want an offensive line, like you guys said, the Detroit Lions. What'd you say? They just beat people up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I want a team that I can just hand the ball off to my running backs 30 times a game, and I can just beat you that way. I can beat you by just handing the ball off to my running backs, us keeping you from scoring because we got a good defense, and we smacking fuckers in the mouth, and we can just beat you up in a running game, and I can just put any quarterback in there. I got good weapons. They gonna make plays. And that's it. Instead of relying on the quarterback to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the philosophy with the Caleb Williams philosophy, draft him, is that they're going to draft him and pray that he becomes Pat Mahomes, even though he don't have Pat Mahomes' line, he don't have Andy Reid, he don't have Tyreek Hill, he don't have Travis Kelce, he don't have Chris Jones, he don't have none of the shit that Pat Mahomes has, but somehow he's going to turn into Pat Mahomes.
That's a fact.
That's what they hope. They hope that he's QB Jesus, and he's going to save the organization like Christ did when he rose from the dead 3 days ago.
Right.
That's what they hope. I don't have that hope. I live in, like, the real world. This ain't the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. You know? So, right now, you need to build up your trenches. You need to get more weapons, and you need to build a team. So, whether it's Justin or it's anybody else, that quarterback can come in here and be like, shit, I got DJ Moore, Marvin Harrison, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Robert Tonyan, Khalil Herbert, Roshan Johnson. I got, you know, the defense go hold people to 18 points. And I can sit back and know that even if I don't complete that third down, my defense go hold me down. Hell, they might even get a takeover, a turnover. They might get a takeaway.
And that's a fact.
And I'm going to get right back on the field. And if I'm off, I'm just going to hand the ball to my running backs three straight times. And we go pick up a first down. And I'm going to throw a little screen to my number one wide receiver. He go pick up 8 yards. And I'm going to start feeling confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I'm off the QB Jesus stuff, bro. Like, no, you need to build a team, bro.
That is a fact.
Fuck this. I don't care if it's Justin. I don't care if it's Caleb. I ain't even at the point of advocating for Justin Fields. Like, I right. like Justin Fields. I think he'll be fine. But you need to build the team no matter who the quarterback is, man. We got to stop this shit.
At some point, it has
to
stop.
That's what my man Lance Briggs was talking about, right?
Yeah, Lance Briggs. Right?
Lance Briggs was like, I already got a Caleb Williams. I gotta, you know.
Exactly.
And yeah. Nez, you mentioned it on our last podcast. He's a bigger and he's a faster and he has a better arm than Caleb Williams.
Yes.
It's a Caleb Williams, but bigger, faster, and stronger. That's what we have in Justin Fields. He's young. He's only, 24 years old? Come on, like.
Not even two full seasons worth of starts under his belt.
Not even two full seasons, right? And let's be honest, he's been in probably the worst situation of any quarterback in the last 20 years. As far as situation that he's walked into. Well, I mean,
No, you're right.
I said
you're
Carr.
Right. Carr was in the... Well, but that was more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was about 30.
I would also say the Jets a couple years ago, that was a bad situation with Geno. You know, that wasn't a good situation for him either and stuff like that, so...
Well, you know, what kills me...
Or you could put Cleveland in there, too.
Yeah. But. You know, what kills me with Chicago media, though, right, is that... The attack on Justin Fields, and again, like we said, we ain't making this about Justin, but we see this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's the attack on Justin Fields, right? And the fact that he was placed in a fucked up situation, a real bad situation, right?
And then nobody can deny that. Nobody can deny that.
Right. And then after 2.5 seasons, right? 2.5 seasons, you ready to give up on the kid. But this is the same Chicago media that won't come with the same venom after 2.5 years for Connor Bedard in the Chicago Blackhawks. And this is real shit because they both are shitty organizations at this point. So after 2.5 years for Connor Bedard, this shit don't yield fruit. They not going to come with the same venom. They're going to be apologetic and come, look how bad the franchise is. Look at this, look at that. Why the fuck is this so different for Justin Fields then? Because they both placed in bad situations. And I want y'all that's listening to really take that to put that in your pipe and smoke it. Smoke on it a little bit. These agendas that these motherfuckers have is ridiculous and it's sickening. And it needs to stop. And if ain't nobody gonna call these motherfuckers on it, I am. And I don't give a fuck who mad about it. But again, just like I said, you have a generational talent. This boy won wherever he went, he won. Then all of a sudden he comes here in a bad situation, and after 2.5 years, you ready to throw him to the wolves.
Bro, the dude just threw 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in fucking the last 2 games and plays in a game where the whole team was shitty and get hurt. Now they already done.
Exactly.
Like, it was like he was the only quarterback to do that shit since Jay Cutler. He's breaking passing records. What was the other game? It was considered not even a good game, but he broke the fucking consecutive completions in a game. When was it? He completed like 14.
Yeah, 16 of them. Yeah,
something. Yeah,
16.
He's doing shit that we've never seen a quarterback do in Chicago. He's broke the rushing record. He broke Michael Vick's rushing record. He threw fucking 8 touchdowns in 2 games like just recently, almost 700 yards. And we're seeing this shit, and it's just like you never like. Oh yeah, we've seen this all the time. Like it never happened. Just because the last game. Now you're like, who was it? And I like the dude. Adam Holger was like, oh, he could have prevented himself from getting hurt. This fucking football, bro. Like, that's the dumbest shit I ever seen. But that's when I know people didn't play sports.
Right.
You could have prevented yourself. You don't fucking play saying you could have prevented yourself being hurt. Like, I was a young dude. We doing all this crazy shit
when
on the field,
the
on the
game,
basketball
not
court.
To get hurt, that's when you get hurt.
Yeah, you get hurt.
He was trying to get rid of the ball. He was trying to get rid of the ball. And as he threw it, he came down awkwardly on his hand, right?
Yeah.
That's how he got hurt. Now, if he takes the sack, everybody's like, you can't take a sack there. Get rid of the ball. Throw it away. So it's damned if you do. You see what I'm saying? Like,
oh, he held the ball too long. He held the ball too long. He should have just checked down. But then when he checks down, oh, Justin missed a big play. How could he? Like, what the fuck? What do you want him to do?
It's confirmation bias. Like when people, confirmation bias is like when people already have that mind made up about some shit,
and
they just start looking for the information that supports their fucking opinion.
And
they're not looking at it objectively. Mm-hmm. They're not, that's what they do. So they'll ignore everything. Like you see these fucking people, right? Justin will make a hell of a play. Dude, he'll spin out, throw the ball fucking 50 yards, pick up a first down. Nothing. You won't hear nothing. You won't see a tweet. You won't hear fucking nothing. He has a good game. They won't say nothing in the podcast, nothing in the articles. Mm-mm. The moment he does something bad, oh, look, see right there? He held on to the – what the fuck? When he got the ball out, like, it was one play where they came off a naked off the edge. It was last game. And he, I think it was the Denver game, and they came out unblocked blitzer. He threw the ball sidearm.
Shook his ass and threw that touchdown.
Yeah. And then he's like – like I seen plays with Justin ball. Justin got the ball out quick as fuck. Like he identified the blitz, threw into the blitz, got it out within like 1.5 seconds. Nobody mentions it. Nobody mentions it. They don't point out though when he held on to the ball. Oh, he held on to the ball here. And that's why I said, bro, I can't even like argue with these people because it's like it's literally like arguing with like a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? like you're trying to argue with my son, bro. And he's like, no, he sucks. And that's the only reason how he knows how to like debate. He sucks.
Dig this.
He sucks. Like, no, having a more intelligent conversation, bro. You can't even not
you have people that
dig this. We got motherfuckers who sat up here and tried to argue the fact of what Patrick Mahomes meant when he said, I couldn't read a defense until 2.5 years in. You know this, but what I think he's saying is, no, motherfucker, it ain't what you think, okay? We not, no, he said what the fuck he said. It ain't about what the fuck you think. Stop with this I think bullshit. And if, who gives a fuck about what you think? Yo, think piece don't matter this way. It's what the fuck he said. That's what he meant, asshole. Well, what? Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to throw anybody under the bus. He just, no, he said what he said.
Exactly.
What you think. Nobody asked you what the fuck you think. This is what he said.
And it's not that he said it one time. He said it over and over.
Multiple times.
He's repeated it. He said, you know, why would he say these things? Because he's telling you that, hey, Andy Reid's a good coach. Hey, I've had guys that helped me through my career, like Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
Right? Like my quarterback's coaches and things like that. So he's giving them credit and the organization credit for putting him in a situation to help him be successful.
Absolutely.
To be the best that he can be. That hasn't happened for Justin.
No, it hasn't.
That's all we're saying, people.
That's it.
That's all we're saying. That's
simple.
It. All I'm saying is that he has not been put in a situation to make him be or help him be the best that he could be. Now, if you put him in that situation and he fails,
then that's on Justin.
You say, that's on you, bro. You didn't, whatever you do in that film session ain't working. You know, maybe you ain't got it between the ears or whatever. But I know that's not the case right now.
Absolutely.
No, he ain't had Andy Reid. He ain't had Tyreek Hill. No. He ain't have Travis Kelce. He ain't had like Pat Mahomes from the day he got in the NFL was just like put in the perfect. It's like kids, bro. We're gonna drop it.
There was a playoff team before he got there with Alex Smith.
Yeah.
They were contenders.
Alex Smith had look at his record, his season that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were 12-4.
Yeah. So like it's like I'm gonna put it like this, like a kid. You can take a kid and there's always exceptions to the rule. So deception only proves the rule, right? So you can take a kid, right? You can put them in a suburban house, good school district, mom and dad love them, they got money, they go on vacations, he just raised the right way. What's the likelihood of him being successful? It's highly fucking likely.
Over
70%. Yeah, sure. It's almost 100%. His dad's a lawyer. He's going to bring him in a law firm. He will have to be an idiot to fail. And there are idiots who fail, but they are the exception. Now you take the same kid, you put him in fucking O-Block. His dad's dead or in prison.
Crack houses.
His mama's on crack. Everybody in his neighborhood is gang banging. Drug slinging. His homeboy's getting killed. He go to the most fucked up schools in the city. He's likely going to fucking fail. It's an exception. You're going to get a me, right? You're going to get a Nez. You're going to get a Dan who makes it out the fucking hood. Mm-hmm. But I understand at this point in my life that I'm the exception. I'm not the norm. Most of everybody I grew up with, they're in fucking prison, bro.
That's
I'm one of the only few who made it. I have survivor's guilt, okay? Right. We are the exceptions. You don't take someone, put them in a fucked up environment and say, succeed if you don't fuck you. No, you put them in a good position, bro, just like a child. Like a child. Pat Mahomes is the kid growing up in fucking Bel Air, bro. He has everything. Justin Fields, they dropped his ass off in O-Block and gave him an ounce and a fucking Glock.
Survive the best way you can.
You wonder why he's in prison.
Like the tweet I put out that time, they put Justin Fields out there for $2. Go give me a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
This ain't enough.
Make it happen.
What's that tweet where that dad fucking took that kid by the ankle and just slung his ass in the pool and shit?
Yeah. Like, all right, swim, motherfucker.
Sink or swim.
No swim classes. No swim classes. My kids go to swim class. I take them to fucking professionals.
Just to put it in perspective, right? Just to put it in perspective, and we know Pat Mahomes, and I'm not taking nothing away from him because he's talented.
Exactly.
He's cold.
Yeah, he's cold. I love that.
But Alex Smith, the year before Pat Mahomes took over, over 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks. They was, what, 12-4, 13-3 or whatever? Mm-hmm. Went to the playoffs. That was a team that was ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he stepped in to that team with everything around him and was able to push it a little bit further than what mm-hmm. Alex Smith was able to do. That's basically what he did, right?
Yeah.
He's a little mm-hmm. bit more dynamic because that's no slouch of numbers.
No.
That ain't no weak numbers that Alex Smith put up. Over 4,000, 26 touchdowns and only 5 picks on the year.
Yeah. That's solid. That's good to see.
You know, he stepped in and he was able to take it. He took it up one level. So you give him that credit. But at the same time, he did step into a fully functional organization that was like a machine, rolling like mm-hmm. a machine at the point. Mm-hmm. So,
Alex Smith who couldn't be developed in San Fran, too. Let's remember that. Who couldn't be developed in San Fran.
Exactly.
The same Alex Smith who they said was a bum in San Francisco.
Right.
He goes to Kansas City, get good coaching, good development, and then boom.
Steve
Young. We've seen this with Steve Young. Yeah. We've seen it with Brett Favre, Alex Smith. We've seen it with Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, yeah.
And then now, I mean, I'm a fan of Russ, but see what happened when Russ left. Yeah, Jared Goff. See what happened when Russ left Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
Russ don't look the same.
At all.
He don't look the same.
He don't.
But that's the people, they, this is when you know people don't study NFL. They haven't been around. They literally just think you just get a quarterback and he is just the best thing on earth and he just makes everything better. Like, no coach, the coaching staff don't matter. The line don't matter. The wide receivers don't matter. And I tell people, you can't point to me
an
NFL quarterback that won a Super Bowl.
It's media based. It's media driven.
Without weapons.
Yeah. It's media driven, bro. Their narrative is.
Montana had Jerry Rice, bro. Like, yeah, we had the greatest wide receiver in the history of the fucking league.
Their narratives are, the media's narrative, national and local, is that you need that quarterback. And that's the end-all, be-all on the football field. Nothing else matters unless you have that quarterback. And further couldn't be from the truth. You know what I mean? Because you have teams. Like somebody said, offensive. Like I put a tweet out and I said, hire an offensive coach, they said, right? I'm a believer that it doesn't matter if you hire defensive or offensive, as long as you put a good coaching staff together, that's all that matters, right? That's my belief. You don't have to have an offensive-minded guy. You know what I mean? I think it's just blown out of proportion. So, you know, somebody mentioned, you know, the top 5 teams in the league all have offensive-minded coaches. And I said, first of all, Detroit's coach is not an offensive mind. He's a tight end. Like, he's more of a lineman than anything. You know what I mean? He wasn't known for you know, high yardage and all of that type of stuff. I mean, it is what it is. And then you look at all those teams, Kansas City, Detroit, Philadelphia, Miami, these teams that are up there in that top tier in the NFL right now, the top 5, they all got outstanding defense. They all control, once again, offensive and defensive line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They do. They beat teams up. San Francisco, they're beating teams up. You know, San Francisco, they had a thing last year where if you played San Francisco the following week, every time a team played San Francisco the following week, they lost. And it's because they were so beat up. Mm-hmm. They literally mm-hmm. physically beat teams up. And they do that in the trenches. You don't do that on the outside. You do it in the trenches. So the Bears got to solidify that. They got to fix that.
So, yeah,
but no, we just need another quarterback. That's all we need.
Yeah,
bro.
Let them tell.
We don't need to fuck the trenches.
I mean, you know, we at this point, we down to our last part of our segment, man. We got the Vegas Raiders. I mean, we got Bajan at quarterback. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not expecting anything great. It'll be just my luck that, again, like we said, we'll count these motherfuckers out, and then they fuck around and win some way, somehow. Some shape, some form, but this week I just don't see it. Even though they have Brian Horace starting at quarterback, you still got Devontae Adams, and you still got Brandon Jacobs and all them motherfuckers on the other side of the ball. You still got Max Crosby chasing on and dominating amongst that damn line. I'm just going to be honest. I think this game gets ugly quick. I think this game is over by the second quarter. I think Vegas will bend and have scored too many points for Tyson Bagent, the young guy, to overcome. I believe he makes plenty of mistakes. I believe he makes quite a few mistakes. And on that note, I have the Bears losing. So that's that.
Yeah, I think the Bears. What are we playing? We playing in Vegas?
Yeah, we playing in Vegas.
We getting blown out. Yeah. I'm being honest, bro. I'm sorry. There's a chance we can have a miracle. I know people going to be like, oh, yeah, we can. There's a miracle. You telling me it can happen? Oh, bro, we're going to get blown out, bro. We're going to get blown out. That's my take. We're going to go blown out. We're going to get cooked. I ain't got nothing else to say. I hope we win. Like, that's the thing. I'm a Bear fan first, right? So, I swear to God, I hope Bajan ends up to be Brock Purdy. I would love nothing better. But I don't think that shit's going to happen. Brock Purdy is Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? Tom Brady, Brock Purdy, that shit don't happen that often. How many right. undrafted quarterbacks have gone on and be like, great, or really good?
That's like, a fact.
You know, it just doesn't happen, bro. Brock Purdy, Tom Brady don't happen. That shit ain't going to happen. We're going to get our ass kicked, dude. I don't know.
So everybody missed out on this guy.
Yeah.
Not once, not twice, not three. Seven times at least you missed him. Seven times you missed on him. Every team did. 30 teams missed on him seven times.
And then you're going to have some asshole hearing this, right, Dan? Yeah. And he's going to say, well, Brock Purdy went in the seventh round. Look at him. Like, yeah. Oh, my Christ.
That's what we said. It's an exception. We always happen. Say yeah. The exception doesn't only prove the rule because it rarely happens. You can't base something right. on the exception. You can't say this is the exception. Let's suspect the exception all the time because you're going to be disappointed. You're talking about a 1% chance. And like I said, I'm still saying I hope he does because I'm a Bear fan. Yeah. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. I hope he goes right. up there and throws six touchdowns.
And for 600 yards.
It'd be great.
And stomp the Raiders out. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Me.
Just like you. I don't think Justin is it, even though he's proven more that he's it than Tyson Bagent.
Right. I don't know.
High school and Pee Wee and every
facet of the level. Game. Yeah, he's proven
every
that.
Every single level, he's been better than Tyson Bagent.
Yeah. The man
but somehow, some way, yeah. Bagent's going to get to the highest level in football and outperform him, you know. Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Delusions of grandeur. As Dan likes to say.
And I've seen, the last time I seen Tyson Bajan, he was throwing interceptions off his back foot, getting strip sacked, even in the preseason.
And the same thing happened against Minnesota. As soon as he go in, fucking fumble. Interception. Like, he tried to throw across his body, man, and oh my God, that ball hung in the air.
I thought that shit was going to get picked, dude.
I did too. That ball hung in the air for like a good 5 seconds.
You talking about the one that my man's caught? What's his name?
Yeah, Scott came back and caught.
He came back 10 yards.
Yeah.
Bro. Running back 10 yards to catch? Yeah.
I'd have smacked that shit to the ground. Like, man, I ain't catching this.
Bro, I swore that was going to be a Vikings player. As soon as he threw that shit, I was like, he trying to throw it out of bounds, bro. A Vikings player about to take this shit to the house, dude. And I saw Tyler Scott, I was like, woo!
Man, that shit was ugly. I was like, flutter balls, bro.
He turned around and came back like 10 almost 15 yards for the ball,
dead
bro. That
ducks.
Was crazy.
He's throwing dead ducks through the air, man. I'm like, oh, God. Like, and everybody's clamoring for only in Chicago, man, where they clamor for the underdog, bro. And it's like, man.
Let's see what he can do.
I know what he's about to do.
He can't be any worse. Bullshit. Watch this
Caleb
Sunday.
He's Caleb Haney, bro. Like, come on, bro.
Let's stop this, bro. That's what he is, Caleb Haney. Y'all true.
Let's stop this shit, bro. Let's please stop this shit, bro.
I'm going to say, I'm gonna say L too. I'm gonna say L. I just don't see us winning the game in Las Vegas. Hopefully he does well, man. We'll see what happens, but I'm not optimistic. Some people say cautiously optimistic. I'm not optimistic.
No. At all.
Not even cautiously optimistic.
The Raiders.
I'm pretty sure I have the game turned off my fucking TV by halftime. I'll be watching Reds.
I'll be watching somebody else.
First quarter, I'll be like, fuck this shit, Clint.
The first turnover, like, oh, fuck. It's only going to go down from here, so.
Devontae Adams going to slice our ass up, score a touchdown. We're going to get the ball, fucking pick six, strip fumble, fucking touchdown, 14-0, fucking first 11 minutes of the game, dude. I'm going to be like, game over.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, with that that's said, it. I mean, that's all I got, man. I got to get the court.
Me too.
So, all right, man. But before I get out of here, man, just on a real note, man, you know, I lost a real one this past weekend, man. I lost my uncle. He was everything to me, man, you know, and it still ain't hit me yet. You know, I'm 40. You know, he passed at 53. You know, I got the opportunity to say my last goodbyes to him and, you know, kiss him on the forehead before he went ahead and, you know, went to God that, you know, that Saturday at midnight, man, heading into Sunday morning. So, you know, he was a diehard avid Bears fan, man. Everything about him was, you know, Chicago Bears exemplified, Chicago Bears and embodied Chicago Bears. He is the reason why I love him, you know, and I'll never give up on him. So, with that said, man, you know, hey, you know, I wanted us to get that victory last week for you, but you know, and the season ain't turning out the way that it is turning out, you know what I'm saying, that we wanted it to. However, you are up there, man. So if, you know, I know you listening and I know you looking down, just, shower, your nephew, man, with a little bit of luck, a little bit of praise these upcoming, or not, if not this season, cause you probably, you know, ain't got your wings yet. You up there getting fitted. So next season, shower it down, man. I'm expecting us playoffs, the Super Bowl, baby. All in the honor of you and your name, man. So that's all I got.
God bless, man.
Yeah, God, man. Bless. Shout out, man. Rest in peace, bro.
Appreciate it, fellas. With that said, we'll rock with y'all next week, and we'll see how this game go.
All right.
We out.
All right, peace.
Peace.